News and interviews from your community. Every morning on WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
Thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Rob Center, our fabulous producer, took the day off, so lucky him. He gets to enjoy, hopefully, some R&R. Hopefully, he's enjoying that. You are tortured by listening to me hacking through sports. On the news line with us now, yes, I did have to ask my good sports colleagues precisely who the individual is that we're going to talk to. I knew he played for Penn State, but it was a fog after that. Alan Samitis is on the line. Now he's a special teams coordinator and secondary coach and an assistant strength and conditioning coach at Susquehanna University, played in the NFL, and of course was a defensive player at Penn State. So a lot of folks will remember that from, I'm going to tell you, that would be the year 2000 or so. Alan, good morning.
Good morning.
When did you graduate from Penn State?
My years there was from 01 to 05, so it was right after the LeVar Arrington era.
Well, fabulous. Well, thank you so much for your career there and then in the NFL, and then more importantly, bringing your talents and expertise and interest to the Central Susquehanna Valley. We're very glad that you're now part of the Susquehanna University community. Well, you're working with football players to do some community work. So take us back a few weeks. How did this evolve that the players are going to be helping at Kids Grove? And tell us the status of that project then.
Yes. During quarantine time last spring, having a lot of time with the family and whatnot, and I just sat back and thought about the possibility of us not having a season this fall, and then seeing all the turmoil the country was in from COVID to the George Floyd incident with all the racial tension that was going on. I just felt like I needed to get my hands dirty. I needed to get into the community and get involved and help any way I can. And seeing that I have a platform with the football team with just under 110 guys, I felt like they would be behind me in any efforts I wanted that I could develop within the community. So I sat down and I thought about it, and I came up with this great idea of SOS. And everybody knows that. It's like that's like the signal for help. And that's where it derives from, and it means season of service. So us not having a season, in my eyes, it's not going to stop the development of men, what we do within our football program. And, in hope that we can make people smile and laugh the same way as if we were playing football. I sat down with some great minds at Susquehanna. A couple of guys I would like to mention, Malcolm Dirk, Dr. M. Hoof, Mrs. Lazardi, Lauren Mark, the borough council manager, and just started brainstorming what we can do to impact and help this community. And what I thought in my mind that we could be a working and living example of what diversity is. Our team has a variety of different people from different states and different races and cultures. And I felt if we can get out in the community, we can develop some meaningful conversations and break down some of these walls in the community. And so we can allow growth within individuals. And when I thought about Kids Grove, I thought, wow, what a great space. I remember taking my kids there a couple years back, and it's a wooden park. It reminds me of my youth. And it's just a space where you can bring families out. You can connect with other families, other individuals in the community. And I thought, wow, this could be a great project for us, not only to strengthen the bond within our team, but to strengthen the bond within our team and the community, and just again being an example. So we started out on Kids Grove 2 weeks ago. I met a great gentleman named Dick Norman and his daughters, and we just developed a plan. and how we were going to basically give this park a facelift. And we started with some weeding, taking out some bushes taking out some stumps and actually rehanging the Kids Grove sign, which had fallen down before we got there. So that was nice to see that sign go back up. But this is going to be a series of weekends that we're going to attack this. And we're just very fortunate that we have the opportunity to do so.
Well, set the scene. While you're working Saturday, who's there helping? Describe, give us a quick turnaround tour of what's happening on these Saturdays.
Well, this Saturday it's going to be, we've done a good job honoring the COVID guidelines. We go in there with a smaller group of a fraction of our team. And this weekend we're going to take out some bushes and trees that basically giving the park shaded area where if it rains and the leaves fall, it becomes damp and it can't dry out and it rots away the wood. We might be doing some wood staining this weekend, it's been a great thing for some of our kids on our team. They've never done work like this before, so it's great to see them learn how to take care of community areas and roll up their sleeves and get their hands dirty and learning how to do landscaping. For someday they might have they'll have their own home and their own family. They're going to be doing the same thing. So but the biggest thing I would like to mention is what it was in the newspaper the other day. Malcolm Dirk, he got me in contact with Lauren Mark, again, the borough manager, and she invited me to the town hall meeting. And I had a privilege to meet some wonderful individuals within that circle. It was brought to my attention about this truck that was left from a guy that since passed, but left $5 million to the town for projects just like this. And then when I heard about that, I said, wow, that would be great to somehow secure some funds so we can really give this park what it needs. Because, again, there's some rotting wood and whatnot there, and that's going to cost some money. And I explained what our goal was, and had a gentleman that just spoke up on my behalf and said, we need to do this. We need to grant him those guys some money so we can get started on this the way that we would like. They granted us $10,000 towards that effort. I was floored. I didn't know exactly what it was going to cost. We were getting those numbers together, I thought maybe just a couple of grand towards the efforts. I just didn't know what to expect, but they were very generous, and it just makes me more motivated to do what we set out to do and do it right. So I'm just very thankful, humbled, and I'm ready to go to work.
Well, and explain the mindset of the players when this came time to pitch this to them. You didn't have to sit down and convince and convince and convince. You mentioned this is an opportunity to help. This is your town you're in at the moment, and away you went.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, right? Being a football coach, you would hope you have your kids here, and we've had a tremendous success here at our football program. Coach Briggs, Steve Briggs, he hired me back in 2012, and I've been in this community, and I've seen this program grow since then, and we have just some quality individuals. And when we had to give the news that our season was over, guys were crushed. They were crushed. And I was crushed for them. But you know, I quickly got out of that mindset and just thought, guys, let's make a difference. This we'll never have this time where we're, you know, not having a season in the fall ever again. So let's make use of this time. Let's try to change lives and touch lives and grow stronger between each other with the events that we may be able to do. And man, I sent basically a mass text out, and it was an overwhelming support from the team with the vision that I have set out. And you know, and I don't expect anything less than that. There's a reason why we're successful. Yes, we have a lot of good football players, and we have great coaches developing them. But at the end of the day, it's the essence. It's the heart of the man that really helps us break through that potential that those players may have within them. And that's really why we're so successful, is because we have really good-hearted men, young men within our program, and they've done nothing short but pull up their sleeves and went to work every time I've asked. So, you know, my hat's off to them. But I couldn't get this done without them.
Well, you mentioned that there's a broad discussion about race underway in this country. Very briefly here, relate that to this idea of helping in the community, just being part of the community, being black, and monitoring racial discussions around the U.S. and protests and things. How does all of that weave together? This is really all part and parcel of really the same good forward-thinking conversation that you're doing.
Right. So, yeah, very brief. The thing about it is I'm biracial, so I have that unique experience within myself with my upbringing, coming from a multi-race background. And with our project, you know, we're the most diverse group on our university, and I would argue the most diverse in terms of race and culture in the area. And what we wanted to set out to do was, you know, not have our cell phones, not to have AirPods in our ears. But when we're out there working, we're engaging, obviously, in maintaining COVID guidelines, but we're engaging in conversations with people in the community that might not see people that look like us on the day-to-day, and in hopes of breaking down some of these stereotypes or mindsets that they might have had when they were younger or brought up on that just is not true. And we can, you know, at the end of the day, just be a working, living example. So even if you did not have a conversation with one of us, but you've seen us drive, you might be in your car driving by and you see a group of people that look like they're from all over and not from here, and they're doing something for the community, that might spark something in your brain. It might be you hear this radio conversation, you read the newspaper, and it sparks something in your brain of a thought that you've never really had before about culture and race and stuff like that, being that this place is not that diverse. We just want to make a difference in that type of way, and hopefully that it, you know, really spark some new conversation within the area, and just help to enrich this area. This is a great area. I've settled here with my family, and we just want to add some more ingredients to the recipe that's just going to give it even more taste than what it has already.
All right. Well, thank you so much for the explanation, boy. We really appreciate that. Great thoughts about drawing this valley together and helping out however we can. Alan, thank you so much for checking in. Very much appreciated. I hope we'll be in touch again in the future, and you have an open mic here anytime to talk about these important endeavors.
Yes, and I'll just leave with this. I encourage anybody, if you want to see, now, I am a football coach. And, you know, I did play at Penn State. And if you guys ever remembered me playing a physical style of game, you come out and watch Susquehanna football play, you're going to see exactly that. One of the best in the country, when we get back on the field, come out and watch this play. I guarantee you it will be an event for you and your family.
The awakening of the Riverhawk. We're all talking about it. It's already a brought-up topic around here. Thank you so much, Alan. We really appreciate you checking in, and we will talk again. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mark. Have a good one.
Alan Zimaitis at Susquehanna University, former Penn State player, as he mentioned, former NFL player, and more importantly, helping to serve as catalyst and leader for a lot of work taking place at Kids Grove these days in Sealands Grove. You are listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.